Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Tony Baselli and Jeff Loggeman. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Good evening and welcome back into the HananiahAutos.com studio for more Jaguars Thursday. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli. We're talking about big things you need to know about. Number one on our list is the Senior Bowl. Gus Bradley was just here talking about getting ready to get over there later this weekend with his coaching staff. We're going to talk about the playoffs a lot tonight. And, of course, the NFL draft will be an ever-present part of Jaguars Thursday. By the way, we have one more two-hour program. Next week, Gus Bradley joins us from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. 2 weeks from tonight, we will be on from 6 to 7 with Tony here in the HananiahAutos.com studio. With that, welcome. How are you?
Oh, good. Great. Outstanding. Couldn't be better.
Are you working this weekend?
No.
No. You're done.
It'll be good to stay home and watch some football.
Sunday.
It was wet.
You were in New England, right?
It was wet and cold.
New England?
Actually, it wasn't that cold. It was wet.
For the
Colts game?
I bet they could coach you to Denver, though. Sunny and 60?
It's going to be a great game. I mean, it's going to be a great game. New England's interesting. I mean, all of a sudden now they're this power running game with.
Wouldn't you be, though, with a defense that has so many flaws? I mean, that's really why they're doing it.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is for the first 14 games of the year, LeGarrette Blount averaged 6.1 carries, so 6 carries a game for 30 yards. So basically 5 yards a carry. But the last 3 games, he's averaging, I think, 24 carries or whatever for like 150, averaging 7.1 yards a carry. And so something happened 3 weeks ago where all of a sudden they said, we're going to feed the rock to LeGarrette Blount and see where we go.
I think it was a great move. I mean, but as a coach, how do you get the courage to do that? Or does it just happen? He goes in there and he gets hot and you're like, let's just leave him in.
Well, probably that.
Or was it a design thing? Hey, we're going to feed the ball to LeGarrette Blount here 25 times in this game. I don't think it was that.
I think it was, you know, you look at them all year. They have three backs. They have Ridley, they have Vereen, and they have Blount. Now, Vereen was hurt for most of the year with the wrist and came back off that limited IR. And so a lot of those guys got carries, and there was another guy when Vereen was out. And it was, you know, who didn't fumble the ball basically got the carries. And for whatever reason, 3 weeks ago, LeGarrette Blount got a heavier load, and he is now the featured guy.
You know, that brings us to the storyline of this game, and that is you've got two teams with incredible quarterbacks with below-par defense for whatever reason, whether it's injury or whether they're missing something. And you've got two teams that have overcome enormous injuries on both sides of the ball. I mean, losing Vince Wilfork is a huge blow to that defense. And losing Von Miller, yeah. And Von Miller for the Broncos. And why can't I think of the left tackle's name, the kid from Boise State?
Clady.
Yeah, Ryan Clady.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you and they lost their starting center. I mean, major injuries, and the quarterback makes it go.
Yeah, well, but look, I mean, he makes it go, but look at the number of weapons that he's got.
Well, Denver, there's no weapons in New England.
No.
Somehow, Julian Edelman, you know, he had 105 catches this year.
He's a good player.
I understand that, but it's Julian. I mean, he was their punt returner last year. He was their third or fourth receiver last year.
Yeah.
He wasn't even supposed to be the number one guy. Danny Amendola was in Gronkowski because of injuries.
And he catches 105 balls.
And
the other tight end was supposed to be
right. Well, that happened earlier.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 105. I mean, to put that in perspective, how many guys in the history of this franchise have caught 105 balls?
Now, Wes Welker did it a couple. Oh, you mean in Jacksonville?
Jacksonville.
Yeah, only one guy's ever gone over 100.
So here's a guy that was a quarterback at Kent State, basically. Was a do-everything guy. Was an afterthought in the offense because you had Welker, Gronk, Hernandez, Danny Woodhead. Woodhead's gone. Gronk's hurt. Hernandez is getting ready to do life in prison, it looks like. Amendola, the guy you bring in, gets hurt week two or three.
He's been hurt a bunch.
All year.
Yep.
Gronk ends up getting hurt during the year. And so, okay, we'll just plug in Edelman and catch him 105 balls.
And the rookie. I mean, where'd this guy come from?
Which one? Tompkins or?
Tompkins.
He's just average, though.
I think he's better than average. Early in the season, he was Tom Brady's go-to guy.
Yeah, but he's just okay. I mean,
he's okay.
He's going to be a nice
for
player.
For a rookie,
sure. No,
I mean.
Well, point well taken.
Yeah.
But I was sitting there watching, going through the game, getting ready for last week. I'm like, Julian Edelman has 105 catches.
He's playing well.
And the funny thing is, how many teams have their number one receiver and their number one back now returning punts and kicks? LeGarrette Blount still returns kicks.
Returns, yep.
And Julian Edelman still returns punts.
Still doing punt returns. I don't know if there's a team in the league that does that. I mean,
you get to this point of the season, that has a lot to do with it, doesn't it?
No, they do it all year.
The Saints have Darren Sproles back there, but it's not like he's been living back there all the time.
He's not the featured guy.
No. But, I mean, I don't think there's another team.
So, it was interesting up there. I mean, that I give the Patriots credit. I give the offensive line credit. They just mashed them. I mean, they just
did a great job.
And then, all right. And Luck was below average. Luck made some bad decisions.
So you got all those weapons in Denver. So which quarterback would you rather have? Oh, you're talking about two of the greatest to ever play the game.
Tom or Peyton?
I'll Tom or Peyton.
In the playoffs, I'll take Tom Brady any day of the week. In a regular
for fantasy
season
football,
game,
I want Peyton Manning.
In a regular season game, I'll take Peyton Manning.
All right, for Sunday.
For Sunday, I would take Tom Brady, but I just don't think that he has enough weapons to overcome the amount of points that Peyton Manning can score. And by the way, you guys were both wrong last week.
You got all four right.
You both picked the Chargers. Yeah. Let me just say that right now.
We got both of them wrong on Sunday.
Yeah,
you got both right.
That's right.
Yeah, that didn't take very long, by the way. I think I just walked in. He goes, you went with Baselli on that one. I said, yeah, I took the wrong road. Who are you picking this week?
Me?
Yeah, no, don't go there. Save that.
Yeah, before you go, the funny thing about the Chargers-Denver game, I mean, it was got away early.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden they start coming back, and the Chargers down one score, 3rd and 17. I'm like, oh, yeah. Because I was thinking the same thing you probably
I was thinking. Yeah.
And so 3rd and 17, I'm like, the Chargers can get the ball back. They're going to get this thing in overtime, and the Broncos are going to melt. 3rd and 17.
Great throw.
First down, I'm like, it's over.
Great throw.
It's over.
Great throw. And how about the San Diego Chargers kicker? Prior to that game, he was 3 of 5 on onside kicks, being successful.
Right.
And then he has one. The first one he did, they
was
got
beautiful.
It. So he's 4 of 6.
Yeah, and they don't go for it again.
Yeah, they don't do it again.
I wouldn't either. I'd have kicked it deep.
I mean, I get it why they did, but I'm sitting there going 4 of 6, 4 of 6, and I'm going 5 of 7 sounds so good.
Yeah, but the odds are. I thought it was right call to kick it deep.
I do too.
And you have and guess what? You have him 3rd and 17.
Because you know what I was thinking? At that point, I said, kick it deep because Peyton is going to get tight. And he's going to mess up.
He made the big
and
throw.
And he made a couple beautiful plays, and they ended up eating the clock.
But I'll tell you what, that San Diego team, defensively, you know they played the Chargers 3 times. The Chargers played the Broncos 3 times, 3 lowest outputs for Peyton Manning all year.
Even more than what the Jaguars were
way
able to
under.
Do? Is that right?
Yeah, 3 lowest outputs.
So when you look at how it appears that New England's going to have to go in and win that ball game, they're going to have to play like we thought the Chargers could. In other words, they're going to have to keep Peyton on the sideline with that running game.
It's going to be interesting.
And against that Broncos defense, you'd think they'd be able to do it.
Well, Chargers, no Ryan Matthews when he was hurt. That hurt him bad.
A lot.
And so they couldn't do what they wanted to do. And Denver played well. Hats off to him. But New England's better than
their defense played surprisingly well.
They did.
Up until the very end.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought that Jack Del Rio's defense would have had that kind of production? Impressive.
You know,
Terrence Knight got a lot of play in that game, didn't he?
He looks so
Mincy
excited.
Mincy had a sack.
I know, early on.
He should have had 5. Did you talk to him?
No. I missed the call.
Spoken like someone who talked to him in the locker room on a regular basis the last few years.
Going back to your question, I would probably take – I don't think you were wrong with either, but
of course
Tom Brady is just amazing. So is Peyton. If I had to pick one on a neutral side, I'd probably take Tom, but I think Peyton's going to win on Sunday, so I'd take Peyton this Sunday.
Yeah, home field advantage. I just don't see Peyton Manning losing.
I don't either.
But if that game were in
Did
New
you
England,
see him losing last year?
I'd be taking Tom Brady.
All right.
And I think it's going to be an epic battle. I mean, two of the greatest
It's not the game of the weekend, though.
No, it's not. But I mean, it is. It is just because of the star power factor.
Not for me.
No, it's not for you.
The big, big but, fat guys going at it on Sunday afternoon, the second game
for the majority of the fans.
Oh, I get that. You're right.
Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. How many times have they faced? Now, what is it?
12.
I mean, it's a ton of times. And how?
No, 14 because Peyton's 4-10 against Tom. I think so. This will be 15, I believe.
Yeah, that stat right there might sway my pick. 4-10.
I think I'm right about that. It's a big margin for Tom.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. If you'd like to join us on the program tonight, let's go ahead and take our first break of the evening. When we come back, we'll dive into that Seattle-San Francisco game here on Jaguars Thursday.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jags. Ford, go further. Let me pitch this to you in a different way. Since we know all about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and their weapons and their lines and what they can do, let's approach it from the defensive side of the ball, right? How does New England, without Vince Wilfork, without O.J. Mayo, how do they line up against Demaryius Thomas, Eric
Decker? Did you say O.J. Mayo?
Did I say O.J. Mayo?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Gerard Mayo. O.J. Mayo was a basketball player. At USC, too, wasn't he?
I honestly thought, are we talking basketball or something?
Yeah,
like
well, it is that time of year. Gerard Mayo, Vince Wilfork against Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Wes Welker, Julius Thomas. I mean, so if you're the New England Patriots, what are you trying to take away?
None. I mean, number one would be Wes Welker. I mean, just because that's Peyton Manning's guy. I mean,
But Julius Thomas was the guy on that last drive.
I mean, he was, but I mean, that's the scary thing is that, you know, you shut down one guy. I mean, Bill Belichick is probably one of the greatest coaches ever at taking away what you do best. But Peyton Manning has four guys that he can say, I'm going to be best with this guy today.
Well, what he did in the first game is they played cover two man, basically, with six in the box the entire game, and told Peyton he had to run the ball. And now, Knowshon Moreno had 236 yards or whatever it was. He had a big day, but they still lost. So I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to take away – what they're going to try to take away is the pass game.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you want to beat us? You're going to have to beat us running the ball. And we'll give up yards, and it's going to be slow.
Same
and,
way the Jaguars approached the
painful,
game in Denver.
But we're going to just go ahead and run the ball.
Same exact way that Gus Bradley went into Denver saying the same thing. We're going and that you know the Jaguars didn't play a lot of cover two. But in that game, that's all they played. And that's the only way that you can play Peyton Manning. If you go in there expecting to play single high safety and play man coverage against Peyton Manning, he will eat you up. You try to disguise it, he's going to laugh because he's watched every play that you've ever played of every pressure package you've got.
But the only and I agree with you for the most part. But the flip side of that is go look at what San Diego did to him every game. They blitzed him and came from all over the place and had success.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many people have had success?
Jeff, I'm with you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, see, I think that game's always – that's a different game just because those are division opponents.
And you might be right.
And those always are different. I mean,
that's fair.
You never see, you know, where one team blows out another team and when it's a division opponent. That's why I think – that the other game will be so good just because they're division foes. I mean, they know each other so well.
All right, before we go there, though, let's flip it now, and let's say that you are Jack Del Rio without Von Miller, and how do you get after Tom Brady?
Well, you better stop the run first.
I mean, to me, I'm going to play eight guys in the box, and I'm going to stop Blunt. And I'm not sitting there going, Tom Brady's going to kill us. Because who's Tom thrown to? Edelman. Is Edelman going to catch it and go the distance? No. I'm going to make sure I stop the run first against Tom Brady. Just because he doesn't have the weapons that Peyton has. You have to approach it that way.
All right. Same thing?
No, I agree. I think Tom will kill him, though.
Just picking him apart.
Look what he did in the first game. They played each other.
So you're picking the Patriots?
No, I'm not saying that at all. But in that win game, I mean, he threw for over 300 yards. When it was gusting and blowing and – he threw it all over the yard. And if you play to stop the run, I think Tom Brady and that offense will find a way to move the ball. I think this is a high-scoring game. I think it's 34-31, 34-37 type of football game.
That's a tough one to pick.
I mean, I'm going to go with Denver.
You're going Denver?
I'm going Denver. But I wouldn't be surprised if New England won. I think it's a three-point game decided in the fourth quarter.
You know, I fully expected this past weekend for Peyton Manning to get tight, and he didn't. But there was one indication that told me he was feeling it a little bit. And that was after the game. They were asking about the future. He said, all I'm worried about right now is putting my lips on a Bud Light.
Yeah, that was a good line.
It was a great
line.
Funny. It was a great line. But it made me think, you know, he's probably, you know, he's been tense all week. He finally got the win. He probably wants to just relax a little bit. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, next week against Tom Brady with the ultimate game to go to the big game, the Super Bowl, how tight would he be in this game coming up? I'm picking the Patriots. Just, I mean, for that reason, because he talked about Bud Light after this past game, and because Buscelli's picking hometown Broncos.
If it was talking about the Bud Light, you would have picked Peyton for that reason. The fact that I picked them is why you picked the Patriots.
Yes, that's right.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. All right, out west, the Sunday night game, essentially, to 6:30 kickoff here on the East Coast. And that's where it gets fun because you go back and look.
Who did you guys pick last week in that game?
Carolina.
Yeah. Okay, you know, now why are we talking about that now?
Well, I'll say this about that game. Twice in the first half, first and goal inside the five. First and goal at the one. I mean, one time they were at the two-yard line, first and goal. Couldn't punch it in. Got stopped on downs. Had to settle for a field goal. That should be 14 points. That's an 11-point difference. That's a different ball game if they score there twice. Now, give the Niners credit. They bowed up when they had to. But that was a game that was decided in the first quarter, I believe, when Carolina couldn't push it in twice. Because that's a 20 – they already had seven. That would have been a 21-point, 21-10 game or whatever it was. That's a different ball game if they score there twice. They didn't, though. And that's why San Francisco is so good, is their front seven is so fit. They're playing more physical than they did at the beginning of the year. And it's going to be a – barn burner. I mean, it's going to be.
It's going to be. I think the anticipation of that game is greater than what the game is going to be, in my mind.
I disagree.
I think Seattle is such a superior team to San Francisco.
Oh, really? I don't think so.
I do.
No, I'm picking Seattle. I think I could be. I could change. How long until the next break, Joe? Because I got 6.5 minutes to change my mind.
Yeah.
I would have said that, Jeff, 8 weeks ago. The way the last 7 to 8 weeks that the 49ers are playing on both sides of the ball, on both lines, Kaepernick being more who he is and not trying to sit in the pocket runner. I mean, he's being who he is. That coupled with the fact that I don't think Russell Wilson's played very well the last few weeks.
He hasn't, but he's been okay.
No, he's just okay. I think the 49ers on a neutral field, I would pick the 49ers. I just don't know if they can go into Seattle, into that atmosphere, and beat that team. On a neutral field, I think I picked 49ers. In Candlestick, I picked 49ers.
All right, well, let's start with the quarterbacks since we started with the quarterbacks in the AFC, and you've got completely different situations. You've got two young guys, neither one who's won a title yet.
And neither one who's
– I think one of those two, doesn't matter who wins in the AFC, will have a ring. I think the NFC
is
going to be
the winner.
Yeah,
I do too. I agree with that.
Games in New York, it's probably going to be a little bit foul weather-wise. Certainly not going to be pristine. Yeah, I just think that in that game in Seattle, though, Seattle's defense is so good.
But so is the 49ers now.
No, they're good, but they don't have the talent all across the board like Seattle.
You don't think?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I mean, they do in spots, but they don't have the depth. Seattle can play every active guy on the roster and never see a fall off. Never. That's the only team that I've watched all year long. Guy's out, next guy up steps in, and he does a great job. I mean, that's what makes them so special, is that they're deep and they're talented. It's not just, hey, we're three deep on the roster. I mean, they're three deep. I mean, they got three really good players that can play. You know, so I just don't see how a Colin Kaepernick, who is streaky, can have an impact, and certainly he's not going to be able to do it with his arm, I don't believe, against Seattle.
Well, but neither is Russell Wilson. I mean, he hasn't done with his arm lately. He's not playing very well. It's that team right now on offense for the Seahawks is driven by Marshawn Lynch, and then play action pass, get outside the pocket, make some things happen on the move. But Russell Wilson's not playing great football right now. I think this game will be decided, a lot by – how the officials call the secondary play. If they allow the Seahawks to be physical outside with the receivers.
Which they will. It's playoff football.
You would think they will. Then I think it's a long day for San Francisco. If they call it tight, because Seattle mauls guys down the field. They hold. They cheat outside, which is all I'm all about.
They don't cheat.
They play. I mean, they press.
I wouldn't call it cheating.
They press the envelope of.
Yeah.
Okay.
They get all they can get.
Which you should.
Absolutely.
Listen, that's how I play offensive line.
That's not cheating.
It's not. You know what I mean by cheating? I mean they're gonna hold until you call it, and they're gonna grab, and the 5 yards is really 7 yards for them. I mean they're gonna push the envelope everywhere they can. If the officials call that tight, I think it's a different ballgame. I don't think they will.
Whose crew is refereeing that game?
I think that goes a long way to this game.
Could, but I don't think they're going to call it tight.
I don't know. I just listen. It's about both. Everyone wants to talk about the quarterbacks. Everyone wants to talk about Kaepernick. Everyone wants to talk about Russell Wilson. I think they're going to be fine, good players. I think they've played very well at different times of the year this year. In a quarterback league, it's ironic that the two best teams, it's not about the quarterback.
Gene Steratore has the NFC.
Okay.
I have no idea about
Tony Corrente has the AFC.
But you know what I'm saying, Jeff? In a quarterback league,
right?
The two best teams in the NFL, in my opinion, at least the two best teams in the NFC, it's not about the quarterback.
No, it's about their defense.
It's about the defense. It's about the running game. It's about how physical they are. It's about... 53 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the quarterbacks play a piece of that. And then the exact opposite is in the AFC.
Yep.
It's all about those two guys.
So
it's interesting dichotomy.
You think Seattle is deep, talented. If we're talking about everybody but the quarterback.
The only area that they don't have a lot of talent is big-time weapons on offense. And they knew that. That's why they went out and gave the farm up for a Percy Harvin.
And who's still not cleared as of today.
Yeah, so I'd kind of be surprised if he played. I was kind of surprised he actually was let back in the game after the first hit because I thought he was concussed after the first hit.
It's playoffs.
But if Percy Harvin were 100% healthy and the playmaker that he was in Minnesota, which he has not been, that would be a different offense. But Russell Wilson, Tony's dead on the money. I mean – when I watched like the first 5 throws that he had in the game, I think he had 2 incompletions. And the 3 completions that he had, he was off the mark. I mean, he wasn't, you know, he was 2-3 feet off of the mark to where his receiver was having to make a catch behind the back and all that kind of stuff. So he's clearly not playing his best football.
But you disagree. You think if you're matching the other 52 guys up, San Francisco is just as good.
I think it's dang close. I mean, and – I look at that front 7 for San Francisco.
Their front line guys are great.
And the linebackers. If I'm looking at the front line of San Francisco and the front line of Seattle, I'm taking San Francisco. Jeff's right. The rotations and what they can do and how they can move people in. Seattle is extremely deep. The Seattle secondary is better, much better than San Francisco secondary. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, big time.
So, you know, and then you go to the other side of the ball. I think the offensive line for the 49ers is better than the Seattle Seahawks offensive line. But you go to running backs, I'll take Marshawn Lynch. I mean, it's so close.
It is.
And neither quarterback separates himself
from
the other.
And that's why,
which
for me.
Which is total contrast to the AFC.
For me. And I love all styles of football. And on Monday nights for all year, we argued about quarterbacks with Pete. And he's a quarterback lover and apologist and everything else. I have no issue with how the game is going, where the NFL is and what it's become passingly. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm looking more forward to the Seattle-San Francisco game than I am the Denver-New England game. I'm looking more forward to the punch-in-the-mouth fist fight that is going to happen in Quest Field Sunday afternoon, early evening. I think it's going to be fabulous to watch.
All right, folks. Nobody helps you get ready for Championship Sunday better than our friends at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, everything you need. You'll find it at Gate. Stop by Gate today. News is next from our friends over at News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, visit Jaguars.com. Check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. Get caught up in all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. Tony Boselli, Jeff Loggeman, Brian Sexton. Let's grab a caller who held through the bottom of the hour news. David is in Ponte Vedra. David, welcome to the show.
A fellow Vedran. How are you doing, Vedran? Sorry, I interrupted
Thanks
you.
Thanks very much.
You did it
twice. Just a quick question about the referees that Tony brought up. you know, it's not that they're going to be fairly active in the game, but their inactivity, I think, is going to hurt passing quarterbacks. And don't you think that, I know this is a passing league up until January 1, but then I think it turns on its head and it becomes like a running game. So if they don't throw that flag on offensive pass, defensive pass interference, which of the quarterbacks or which of the teams is going to be hurt the most?
Denver?
I think so.
And San Francisco, in the sense that because Seattle's so physical outside, it's going to make it very difficult to throw the ball. But Denver right. more than anybody.
I agree.
The only thing is, David and Jeff, I'd like to hear your opinion. I don't know if New England's good enough outside to get all that physical with their guys.
I mean, that's what you were saying. It would hurt Denver the most. But I'm going.
But then I started thinking about
who plays for New England that can play physical like the Seahawks do. There's nobody.
It's not really who they are.
No. It's not the way they play.
So I guess with that, you know, as far as philosophically, it would hurt Denver if they were playing a team that could get fit. Now, if you go in the Super Bowl and it's Seattle and Denver, then they're in big trouble if they're not calling the flags.
Could be.
If they're not throwing the flag.
Could be.
No, I think they are. We'll wait for that for the next time we talk.
Does that cover it for you, David?
Yeah, just a quick other point, you know, from a historical reference, you know, Marino, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, never won a Super Bowl, you know, for lack of a running game. Because for that reason, the refs hold the flag. Same thing with Elway. He didn't win until he had a running game in the Super Bowl.
I was just about to make that point. He lost three Super Bowls until Terrell Davis showed up.
Terrell Davis deserves that. I was a Bronco fan. They also lost because they had no talent besides John Elway. I mean, go look at those teams. John Elway carried them. I mean, it was not a
– their offense was John Elway.
I mean, it was – okay – we're down by four with 5 minutes left. John, will you come bring us back now? And they played pretty good defense. Now, in the 70s and 80s, they played really good defense. But then late 80s, it was okay defense. And John Elway, that's what they were. Now, they had the nice receivers, the three amigos. But no one – go look at –
they were the three amigos because of John.
Yeah, but go look at who made the Pro Bowl from those Denver teams. I remember a Bronco fan, like barely any of them, because it was John Elway. So – and Marino didn't have a running game at all either, but I didn't follow him as closely growing up. But I know for a fact.
And Dan didn't have much of a defense either.
No. And so, listen, the bottom line is, I mean, to David, to your point, it's correct in one aspect.
That the running game really made a huge difference.
No, not just running game. It's at the end of the day, the teams that win, and this would be my argument to Pete, and I wanted to tweet him last week, it's not about just the quarterback once you get in the playoffs. Maybe getting to the playoffs is, but then it's the team. It's the best team wins the Super Bowl because there's so many things that go into it. Go look at when the Giants upset the Patriots. It was because that team was – it wasn't Eli Manning. It was the team. It was the defense. It was running the ball. So many aspects of it. Obviously, having a Hall of Fame quarterback helps, and Hall of Fame quarterbacks win Super Bowl all the time, and great quarterbacks win all the time. But it's because the team performs at
a
higher level.
If that's the case then, and you were to rank the four teams, 1 through 4, does New England come in last?
Yes. I go Seattle, San Francisco are 1A, 1B.
Because with New England, it is all about
1A, 1B, Denver, and then New England. With that said, if New England won the Super Bowl, it wouldn't surprise me, though.
But then, it would defy the theory.
It would defy theory.
All about
absolutely.
It would defy theory, but in as Tom Brady, and the Super Bowl is different this year because it's going to be played in New York.
Yeah. Now, but in fairness, part of the allure of the Patriot now is LeGarrette Blount.
I was going to say, to David's point, boy, yeah, Tom Brady does have the running
game. Which is the whole point is the well-rounded teams win this time of year. If you're a one-dimensional team, especially if you can only throw the ball when the weather changes – now, unless you're in a dome, that obviously all bets are off. But it just – things get tighter. It's called different. It's just – running's critical. You got to run the ball.
Which team is Denver the team that runs the ball the least effective of those four?
I would have said New England.
Yeah.
But not if you look at the statistics.
Not the last couple of weeks.
No, yeah. But, I mean, if you look at where they are
right
recently.
Now.
I'm
right
asking
now,
based on what you saw last week.
Denver.
Yes. Okay. I agree, Jeff.
But with no Sean Marino in that offensive line, could they go into New York on a cold day
and beat
San Francisco or Seattle?
No. It's not what they are.
So they can't muscle it up and do
it. I mean, that's not what they are.
Well, no, not with the weapons they have outside.
No.
If it's bad weather, windy, cold, freezing rain, whatever in New York, I think the NFC is winning on if they played on the beach, but especially if they play in those conditions.
And Denver's going to have a very hard time. I mean, they're facing a team that's running the ball well, that has an equally good as quarterback in Tom Brady, and they can do exactly what San Diego did to beat them. They could. I don't think it's
– Well, you picked them.
I know, and that's why I'm picking them. I mean
– You're having second thoughts. You're having some
that's a hard game to pick.
You're having some buyer's remorse. I feel it right now.
But I'm not going to change my pick. But, I mean, that's such a hard game to pick because – Last week, I was without a doubt, Denver's going to score too many points where San Diego can't keep up.
Well, and that wasn't what did it.
No.
It was the fact – the funny thing is, I mean, you were right in the pick.
Denver's defense.
The thing that no one – that's amazing. That's why it's so fun this time of year. Who did you – I know we got to go to break, and I want to talk a little draft at least before we get out of
here. Yeah, we're going to do that.
Who are you picking in the Seattle-San Francisco game?
I'm taking Seattle.
You know, I want to be the contrarian and go against them, but I think Seattle's winning too.
Well, I'm with you.
Oh,
you're with me this week. So you're going New England and Seattle.
Yeah, everyone who's just tuning in, Jeff went 4-0 in the picks last week.
Yeah, we heard about it.
I was 2-2.
And I remember looking at the scores.
And Brian decided to go with me, so he was 2-2.
It worked out. All right, 355-NFL-1. David, we appreciate the call. We'll take a break. Come back. We'll talk a little draft, Senior Bowl, all Jaguars here in the next segment as we wrap up another Jaguars Thursday.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, one final segment. A little more than 12 minutes left in the program. We've been talking about the AFC and NFC championship games almost exclusively. Part of that is because the Jaguars are quiet right now. Gus and his staff and Dave Caldwell and his staff are heading via bus, he told us, to Mobile.
Party bus?
Party bus.
Yeah, probably will end up being a nice, comfortable bus.
You know, one thing I want to mention before we move on to the draft talk is that, you know, you look at the games in the National Football League last weekend and this past weekend, and name me one college bowl game, with the exception of the game that only had something on the line that was close to being what we've seen the last two weekends.
Not one.
No. No, I mean, the college bowl games, you know, get rid of them.
Except for Florida State and Auburn.
That's the only game that was exciting. You know, so hopefully college football will be able to generate something similar.
No, there was another good exciting game. I remember the Rose Bowl was great. Michigan State, Stanford.
That was a
great
good game.
Football game.
Yeah, that was a good game. That was it.
Did you watch it?
I did.
I watched the first half.
I liked the Rose Bowl, though.
But, I mean, you watched the first half.
Yeah.
It was a great game. I watched that one.
And the Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl?
No. Who's in the field? Oh, and I watched Alabama.
The New Orleans Bowl.
No. I watched the Alabama Texas Oklahoma Bowl. Game in the Sugar Bowl. That was a good game.
But it's not even close.
Oh, no.
Like 34 games.
The National Football League is jumping up and down at Park Avenue right now.
Oh, they're king.
I mean, it's the best sport there is. You know, and
They did take a little bit of hit, and I know we're not going to talk about this. The Judge Doty throwing out the concussion lawsuit, and they go back to the table.
Well, he requested more information. Yeah, so, you know, I don't know what you would read into that. But, I mean, it's more to come.
It's not put to bed, which is not what they want.
All right. So
talk draft.
Yeah. Look, it's January. Everybody knows that. First mock draft comes out. First series, because, you know, what's your buddy? Mel Kiper.
1.0.
My buddy.
Well, we always assign him to you.
I'll take him.
You guys have been linked ever since that day.
Since 89. Mel Kiper, you know, the folks, Daniel Jeremiah and the guys at the NFL Network have theirs out.
Is mine out, Baselli 1.0?
No, but do you want to do the first five?
Well, I'll wait. I might just wait to do 2.0.
Joe, don't you pull that out.
All right.
I know what you're up to over there.
Exactly. He's going to pull out the clip. He's got it somewhere. He saved it for
I know. He's going
to pull it out.
Pull it out
and throw it.
Every time
Then you just say, hey, what round were you drafted in, Fortunato?
That's all right.
Well, yeah, the big one was Kiper because he had Manziel going 1 to Houston.
Right. And Gil Brandt, by the way, and I don't think he's done his, he said that if he were doing one, he would put Manziel number 1 as well.
And that's been the interesting little twist here.
Well, that's so early, though. It's so early, obviously, but
he has just.
When does Mayock come out with his first mock draft?
I think he waits. I think he's like.
Yeah, he knows.
Yeah.
He waits, though.
He's not for show.
He does his homework.
He's not for show. He's the best.
Well, he's going to be on the, you know, on the Senior Bowl and combine surfaces there all week long. So why would you come out with one now?
So, yeah, because Manziel, I mean, he's intriguing. Don't get me wrong, but it's all about his measurables, how tall he really is, what's his arm strength like. His pro day's going to be big, obviously, for all those guys, but his especially. So I think it's interesting. I mean, you know, if he's going one, everyone has Matthews going two because that's what St. Louis needs is a tackle. Well, all of a sudden, you're sitting at the Jaguars and
Clowney,
Bridgewater. Broyles, what's his name? Blake Broyles?
Bortles.
I mean, you get the pick of the litter. And one of the things I think you have if that happens, I got to believe somebody is going to be coveting the pass rusher, Clowney, at that point. I think there's opportunities if it falls that way. Someone moves
up. Did you hear, though, Bob McNair come out and talk about the possible pairing of Clowney and J.J. Watt?
Yeah.
Well, that makes it interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mayock does one. He does one.
Yeah, but he does it right before.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, when things start to settle down. So I'm just looking right now at NFL.com. And again, folks, for whatever it's worth, these are guesses. But it goes all over the place. Daniel Jeremiah has the Jaguars taking Anthony Barr, the outside linebacker from UCLA. We don't talk much about him here because people didn't see a lot of UCLA on this coast. Terrific pass rusher, converted fullback. Teddy Bridgewater is Bucky Brooks' pick. And then Charles Davis I'll just throw this one in there. We'll go with Johnny Manziel, right? Interesting, none of the three of these guys at NFL Network have Manziel at either one or two. Here's one for you. This is how crazy things get. Greg Robinson, redshirt sophomore offensive tackle from Auburn, number two overall to St. Louis.
Ahead of the kid from A&M.
That's Bucky Brooks has Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle from Auburn, who again, whose name is just shooting up the board early on here, as going number two overall. Charles Davis has the Rams picking Jake Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
So people are just throwing things out there, trying to get their name out there. Daniel Jeremiah has Sammy Watkins, the wide receiver from Clemson, who appears to be a top-shelf talent going number two overall to St. Louis.
He's fabulous.
Yeah, he's a great player.
Yeah, a little off-the-field issue.
Was that a DUI?
No, I believe it was if I remember correctly, something with the Mary Jane drug test, I believe.
Okay.
Look that up, though, because I don't want to – there was something he got suspended for last year. And I don't know what it was, but it was some off-field situation. So I don't want to put the kid in bad light. But he was suspended for something. I can't remember what.
There's just so much football to be evaluated here over the next, 12 weeks?
I mean, you got every college all-star game. You have the one-on-one interviews. You have the combine, individual workouts, like what Gus Bradley was talking about. I mean, there's so much to happen between now and the draft. How could you even try to put together a mock draft? I mean,
here's one thing, though.
It's like trying to take a final exam and you haven't even gotten the midterms.
What percentage of a team's board is completed before the combine? So, in other words, are they 70% done?
50 to 65%.
Okay, see, I've heard higher. In the past, I've heard some teams say it's 80% done. Now we're going to the combine
I think,
tweak it.
Yeah, and I think. I say that in that what's out there would probably consist of 75%, but they haven't digested all of the film and all the things that have been put out there yet. That's still more to come. And then I think the remaining 25%, 30% is the combine, the interviews, the all-star games. Those are the last. But 70%.
But the bones of it are in place.
Yeah, I mean, that's your college film.
Listen, if I was a scout, I don't know what the percentage is. I've never thought about it. But the majority of my judgment on a guy is going to be his college tape. And then I use the All-Star game and the combine for it is to confirm what I saw. Or bring a red flag up saying, well, I saw this, I thought this, but looking at his body type or how he runs, it's not going to translate. But I get worried when – you watch the film and he's like, eh, he's just average. But then you go to the combine and he's a freak. And all of a sudden he rises up. It's like, that's where you get in trouble, in my
book. All right. By the way, Watkins in May of 2012 was arrested for possession of a controlled substance and simple possession of marijuana, which both were misdemeanors.
Mary Jane.
Correct. Okay. So here's the question I have for you.
Well, Rick James here.
You and I had a conversation about it earlier.
Joe told me.
There are some people who are down on Jadeveon Clowney mm-hmm. because of his production on the field and some of the off-field driving issues that he's had in recent weeks.
He likes to drive fast.
Yeah, real fast. Okay, so here's my question to you. Does that scare you away from him?
The only thing that would scare me.
Does the off-the-field stuff scare you away?
Well, if the off-field scares you away, then then don't go near Johnny Manziel because he's had some different situations.
All right. Does his attitude, is it attitude? Well, is that the right way to put it? His approach to this season?
Yes, that's what concerns me.
I would be less concerned about Johnny Manziel than Clowney.
No, me too.
Because the production dropped.
The production, yes, but I'm going to say it a different way. They both have nothing serious off the field, just some questionable decisions,
mm-hmm.
which my guess is if we did an interview, all of us made questionable decisions in college.
Not me.
Okay, besides Jeff. Brian and I and Joe did. If Joe can remember that back.
Silence is sometimes the best medicine.
So what would concern me more is I pretty much get the feeling Johnny Football loves the game.
Loves the game.
Like, loves it.
If you saw him on the sidelines in that Chick-fil-A bowl.
Do you get that impression about Clowney, though?
I don't. I worry. And this is the argument I had with Pete. He's like, oh, you shouldn't sit out. You know, it's okay if he's worried about an injury. I said, guys who love football don't approach it that way.
And what do we just hear Gus Bradley talk
you
about?
And so I don't want to – I've never met the kid. So maybe he loves it. But the impression I got from this year is
– he loves the money.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I
don't. Now, here's the flip side of that,
though. Does he love the game?
Okay. Did Randy Moss love the game, though? I mean, when you have a special talent, isn't –
that's fair.
I mean, he never really loved the game, but boy, did he have some moments where he was as good a receiver as ever.
Do you know he
played.
Didn't love the game?
I'm just guessing by his attitude. No, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, do we know that Clowney
doesn't
love it? No,
that's what I said. I said that's my perception.
Maybe he's motivated by the money.
But to me, the actions tell you whether a player loves the game or not.
You know,
and clearly watching Randy Moss and Clowney this past year would tell you they don't love the game.
No, they don't. And for 99% of the players that play the game, the love of the game has to come first. But I guess what I can't get past is that there are some special talents that you tolerate the fact that they don't necessarily love the game, but they are special and they will play.
Yeah, I don't know if that works here, though.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know how Gus is wired.
I don't know either.
And what did he say about every draft pick this past year?
Loves football.
First thing he said out
loves
of
ball.
Mouth, they love ball.
They love ball. That's who Gus is. Yeah. And so I think if that's who you are, that's the guys you want.
Well, that's got to be one of the number one question everyone wants to know. You know, do you love football?
Well, let me tell you his answer when you ask him that.
Oh,
yes, sir. Yes, love it. Great.
Absolutely. Right, exactly. Sure, most important thing ever.
My next question is, talk to me about your approach this year. What was your approach this year coming into your junior year?
I love ball, Coach. I love
ball.
No,
I want to know what your approach is. What was your mindset coming in?
I love money just as much as ball. I didn't want to hurt the money.
Well, at least you're honest.
Yeah, exactly. You may have asked. You should have asked.
I love the NFL, and I was afraid of getting hurt before I got there.
Yeah, exactly. New York Jets, first-round choice. Jeff Lagerman, linebacker, Virginia.
As a season ticket holder of the Jets, I'm going to boo. It's obvious to me right now that the Jets just don't understand what the draft's all about.
Okay, can I tell you where I was when that happened?
I remember it.
No, I was sitting there in my family room in 1989 as a high school senior watching the draft going, man, that stinks to be that guy.
Have a great night, everybody.